That introduction, that's cool. This is Jeff. Yeah. Well, I was thinking of this song, you know, I'm not going to sing it, but I was thinking if I were to sing a song, if I were to sing a special song tonight, I'd probably have a special one just for Pastor Gary, and I'd sing, "I Want to Hold Your Leg." I thought, well, this is a new Wisconsin greeting. You know, all the years we've been coming up here, we never got greeted this way. We come up, and Pastor Shelley says, "Get in here, hurry up." And I thought, well, okay, sure, she's really glad to see us, I guess. And then I walked in, and I saw a pair of legs sticking out and underneath the counter in the kitchen there, and I thought, well, that's interesting. They're so glad to be here that Pastor Gary's already fallen out under the power of the Spirit, and I'm thinking, this is amazing. We just got here and already. But it's always good to be here. Praise the Lord. And, it's interesting how God leads us. And I was thinking about, you know, when we planned this trip home, we kind of knew in our hearts last summer that we would be back home for Christmas. We don't always come for Christmas, but we felt this year that we should. And we kind of thought, you know, we could do different things. We could kind of pack our schedule full and go from church to church. And we really didn't want to do that. We just thought, let's just not really plan. We had one church in out east that we thought, well, we'll go there for sure, you know, and that's about it. And then, we weren't going to really do anything other than that and just kind of hang out and just get refreshed and all of those things. And then it was a few weeks ago that, Pastor Shelley had Facebooked us and just said, you know, if you guys want to come up, that'd be great. And so we thought, well, yeah, we always want to come up to this part of the world and get to see you all, you know, and spend time and stuff. And so we just felt really good about that, you know, and so it was really good to come. Amen. But had no idea that when we got here that we were going to have a leg holding ministry. And praise the Lord. It's just good to be there at the right time. And, you know, it's wonderful to see how God moves and just watch a miracle unfold before your eyes. Amen. And, you know, I believe that it's not an accident. I believe that God's in the midst of every situation, and he has a plan and he has a purpose. And there are things that are happening that are things that are significant, and that the Lord is moving in a way in these days that we live in. He's moving in ways that are different probably than we've seen in previous generations and previous times. Not different in the sense that the Lord has changed, because he never changes, but different in the sense of because of the time and the season that we're in, there's more of an urgency. And everywhere that we've been going, we've been talking to a lot of different ministers and things that, we've been sharing what we felt like the Lord's been doing in our lives, and we've been talking with other people. And everyone's saying the same thing. They're talking about this is like a season where people are being changed, and God's talking to us about reprioritizing our lives and you know, just getting ourselves in alignment with him and what he wants to do. And, it's really interesting to see that. And I just believe that you know, the same thing's happening here that's happening other places. People are sensing that the Lord is returning really soon. And, so tonight I've titled my message, "I Don't Know." And the reason I've titled my message, "I Don't Know," is because I don't know. And then I leaned over to my dear wife, you know, and usually when we come to church and we're going to be ministering, I'll tell her, you know, "I seem to have this on my heart. What do you think?" And without fail, she'll tell me, she'll say, "I really believe that's the Lord. You need to go with that." And I take comfort from that. Okay, praise the Lord. You know, I'm hearing from God. So tonight she leans over to me and she says, "The Lord told me to tell you, I don't know." And I already had that in my thoughts, you know, "I don't know." So I guess that's what we'll title the message tonight, "I Don't Know." Amen. But I do have some things that I do have on my heart that I feel like, and this may not be like a sermon type of a thing, but just some things that I'd like to share with you that I feel like the Lord's been dealing with me about. And as I've found that he's dealing with me, I've been sharing with other people, and I've discovered that others are feeling the same thing. So I don't think this is an isolated incident. But I believe this is something that's happening throughout the body of Christ right now. You know, I've been walking with God now for going on 40 years. And in all the time that I've walked with the Lord, going back to the very early days, the mid-1970s when I began to walk with him, it wasn't too long in that time when I began to walk with the Lord that one day I sensed the Lord speaking to my heart, and he said something to me that at the time I didn't really understand. But what he said to me was that at the end, before Jesus comes back, that your life and your ministry, that much of it will revolve around the area of prayer. And I didn't understand that at that time. And at the time he said that to me, it was like prayer was the farthest thing from my mind because I didn't like prayer. It was so hard for me to pray. It was boring for me to pray. And it was very difficult. I would try to pray, and I would just pray and pray and pray. And I'm bombarding heaven with my prayers. And then I'd open my eyes and look at my watch, and I've prayed 2 minutes. And I thought for sure I just prayed for at least an hour. And it was like that. And then the Lord, you know, speaks to me and tells me this. And so all these years, you know, I've kind of held that word in my heart, and I've wondered about that. But over the last couple of months, I've had something happening, really since this summer, since we were with you all at the camp meeting. I've had the Lord really beginning to move in my life in this area of prayer in a much deeper way than I've ever experienced before. And I've had some times recently that I've never experienced this in the 40 years I've walked with the Lord, where he's had me praying about the return of Jesus. And I've never touched on that in prayer. I've never, that I can remember, I've never gotten over there where I've prayed about those things. But it's been coming regularly to me when I'm praying and praying with people about Jesus is coming back. And as this has been going on, there's this whole sphere of things that the Lord has been dealing with my heart about in my own personal walk with the Lord. But then again, as I've discovered this, I've found out that the Lord is also dealing about these things with others as well, because the time is very short. And because Jesus is coming back very soon, there is a new urgency that is attached to our life in God and what we're supposed to be doing. And that urgency means that we can't just live our lives the way we would like to, the way we always have. We, you know, if I can use this language, we really don't have permission from the Lord to just live however we want to live. Now, in one sense, we never have had. We're supposed to, you know, he's Lord. We're supposed to follow him. So we can't just do whatever we want to do. But in another sense, it's like because of the urgency of the time, because of the season that we're living in, we can't be sloppy. We can't be lazy. We can't be indifferent about the things that God has. And so about a month ago, I don't know, it's not sure exactly timing, but about a month ago, we were in Singapore and we were having a party for all of our volunteers and workers that have helped in the ministry there. Just a little thank you party for them, you know, at the end of the year. And we just wanted to bless them. Well, so that we had the people that organized the party, you know, they had all these different games and so forth. And one of the games they had was somebody would pull out of a hat or a bag or whatever, a question. And they would read the question out loud and then answer it. And it was like a spiritual question, something along, you know, spiritual things. And so it was all good and fine. Well, one of the people pulled this question out and read this out loud. And when they did, it was like everything within me was just shifted. And I was like, oh my goodness, Lord. And the question was this. They said, if you knew that Jesus was coming back today, what would you do? And I thought about that. And I thought, Lord, first of all, my first reaction was, Lord, I don't want to even think about that. I'll be really honest with you guys. I did not want to think about it. Because I knew that if I thought about it, it would mean I would have to change a whole lot of things in my life. Okay, yeah, I know you look at me, you know, he's a minister, he's a missionary, Singapore, all that kind of stuff, you know. But let me tell you something. You know, I have to live my life just like you have to live your life. And I have issues in my life. I have flesh like you have flesh. I have things to face just like you do. And I realized that to really look at that question would mean I would have to change a lot of things in my life. My priorities would all change. Everything would change. And I was really uncomfortable with it. I didn't want to think about it. I was like, Lord, please, just talk to the hand. I don't want to deal with this right now. Please. So I managed to, you know, for about 3 or 4 days just to keep that. But it kept coming back to me. The Lord wouldn't leave me alone. I'd be like, I don't want to think about it. And it'd just pop up. What would you do? What would you do? And so I finally, I've had to look at this. And as I began to do that, I knew what it meant. The Lord began dealing with me about some things. Some things that in my life that he's talked to me about some time ago that I need to be doing. Some of them I've done and or I've at least started, but some of them I really haven't. And I realize I need to get back at this. I need to take a fresh approach in some things. But as I began to look at this, in all of this, the Lord's been working this thing in me about prayer. And in particular, not just prayer, but particularly a particular form of prayer that we call the prayer of intercession, where by the Holy Spirit, you can't make this up, you can't make it happen, you can't determine it. I mean, as far as you tell God what to do, you can't. It's like you work together with him, and the Holy Spirit takes hold with you, and you pray, and he prays with you and through you, and together you work to accomplish something. And it's a much deeper form of prayer because of the way that you're praying by the unction of the Holy Spirit. And it's something that the Lord has been working in me and dealing with me about. And so I want to share just a little bit with you tonight about this. Now, the other day I was just looking in my Bible and my morning devotions, and this actually wasn't even in my devotions, but it just happened to be I was at this place, and I opened this up and I saw this scripture, and it just jumped out at me. It's in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. And this is what the Apostle Peter said. He said, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, the next word is therefore. Whenever you see the word therefore in your Bible, you need to ask this question, what's it there for? Okay? Because it's a connecting word. So he's saying, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, in light of this, because of this, here's what you need to do. He goes on to say, therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Be serious and watchful in your prayers. Now, I looked at that. I began to think about this a little bit. And I looked at it in a few versions. I want to read this to you from the Amplified. Well, the Amplified says it this way. But the end and culmination of all things has now come near. Then it says, keep sound-minded and self-restrained and alert, therefore, for the practice of prayer. These particular words that are found here have a meaning of being, first of all, sound-minded. Now, what does it mean to be sound-minded? To be sound-minded means that we are exercising control over our thought life. We've had a lot of teaching over many years about our minds and renewing our minds to the Word and disciplining ourselves to think in agreement with God. That's all part of being sound-minded. But I never really made this association so strongly before as I have now in looking at this particular scripture, that sound-mindedness is directly connected to your prayer life. That in this practice of prayer, that God is emphasizing the end of the age is at hand, the end of everything. It's coming to an end. It's coming to a conclusion. And he says, therefore, we need to be praying. This is very interesting because we could think about a lot of things. Lord, what should we be doing? And there are other things the Lord talks about. This is only one of them, but I don't have time to go into all the others. I just felt to look at this tonight. But we need to be people of prayer. And I don't believe that it's just the kind of praying where we just pray a little wishy-washy kind of prayer. Or we, you know, mumble a few things, you know. I don't believe it's like that. I believe there is a spirit of prayer that is coming upon the church for this time and for this hour. I believe that by the leading and the direction of the Holy Ghost, that there are times and seasons in prayer where the church is going to come together and we're going to lose all sense of what time it is. We're not going to care what time it is. We're not going to care what's going on. We just want to be in the presence of the Lord and pray. One of the things that God is doing, and I've sensed this in my heart so strongly, is He's calling us all into a new place of intimacy with Him, of just knowing Him, not coming to get something from Him, but just coming to be with Him, to fellowship with Him, to know Him, not to seek His hand on our life, but to seek His face and to see His face. And see, if we'll have things in the right priority, then yeah, you'll have the hand of the Lord on your life. You'll have the anointing of God. You'll have all those other things. He's not against you having that, but he wants us to seek Him and to know Him. And I've just sensed this in my heart that He's calling us into a place of greater intimacy with Him. And out of that place of intimacy, there are things that we will birth in prayer. 35 years or so ago, there was a tremendous move of the Spirit that took place in the body of Christ. And in that move of the Spirit, I was a very young believer, so I didn't get the opportunity to be as involved with it as I would have liked to. But I did get some on the edges of it, and I was blessed by what I received. But in this move of prayer that took place, it was amazing what happened. First of all, it revolved much around the prayer of intercession. And people were being used of the Lord to pray in ways that were, to others, would look kind of unusual. You know, things like the Bible talks about groaning and weeping and travail and birth. And these are very deep kinds of prayers. They're not things that we initiate out of our own will and desire. They're initiated by the Spirit of God working together with us and through us. So you can't make it up. You can't make that happen, but you can be a yielded vessel, and the Lord, who is willing and wants to pray this way, will work through us then to pray out some things. And this was happening about 35 or so years ago. And out of that particular movement of prayer that took place, significant things took place. First of all, this nation radically changed for the good. Some things that needed to take place changed in this nation as a result of this kind of praying. Secondly, there was and I remember hearing the testimony of this brother Hagen, you know, in the midst of that, because he was very heavily involved in all of this. He started the prayer school at Rhema, came right out of this particular movement of prayer, and the Lord specifically instructed him. He said, I won't go into all the details, but he said, there are three particular evil spirits that are trying to come and exercise influence in America to hurt this nation. And one of them had to do with the economic realm, the other one had to do with the political realm, and the third one had to do with civil unrest. And he said, if you will get people to pray and to pray this way, you will stop those things from happening in this nation. And they did, and that's exactly what took place. And then there was this one time at prayer school, Brother Hagen was praying, and he began to take on the feeling of someone's infirmity. You know, sometimes in this kind of praying, the Holy Spirit will let you feel and sense what someone else is going through because you're praying for them. You're interceding for them. And as he was praying, the people around him noticed this. He was saying, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. And at first they were a little bit concerned, because they thought, is something wrong with Brother Hagen? But then they realized, no, he's okay. This is the Spirit of God. And he was praying that way. And it was on the day that the president that was in that time was shot by a gunman and almost died. The bullet actually collapsed his lung and he couldn't breathe. And Brother Hagen was praying that in prayer school with a group of people and praying about that situation. And if you ever take the time to look at it and read the account of what happened that day, it was a miracle that man was able to survive what happened to him. It was a miracle of God. And so Brother Hagen was used because he was at the right time, at the right place, yielded and willing, a vessel through whom the Holy Spirit could flow. And God moved in that way. Praise the Lord. But you see, all of that took place, you know, 35 years ago. Well, that's wonderful, 35 years ago, but this is new. This is now. What about now? Well, what happened was that movement got off track. Now, Brother Hagin never got off track, but some of the other people that were doing some of these things got off track, and it got to be so bad that the word intercession became a very negative word that was never spoken about for many years. It was almost like if you said the word intercession, people would look at you like you just cursed. It was so bad. And it's only been in the last maybe 15 or so years that, you know, you could even say the word. But now what happened is this. Because of the church backing away from that truth and neglecting that area of prayer, we've had really two entire generations of believers rise up in the church, in the body of Christ, with little to no understanding of how to pray this way. And Brother Hagin, before he died and went home to be with the Lord had dealt with him and said that there is a move of the Spirit of God that will be lost to this generation unless you teach it. Now, I don't believe that move of the Spirit is being lost. Amen. But I do believe this. I believe there's some things the Lord is wanting to birth in prayer, and unless we begin to take up this mantle, this thing of prayer, and begin to be allowed to allow the Lord to move through us and do what He wants to do, I believe that there's some things that won't happen. There's some things that God is waiting to do. He wants to do. It's overdue. It's time. It's past time. But He's waiting for people to pray. Did you ever notice this scripture in the Old Testament in Zechariah 10 and verse 1? We know this scripture. You've prayed it many times. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. But did you ever think about this? To ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain means you need to know what time it is. You have to have some understanding. You have to have some revelation and perception spiritually to know that it's the time for the latter rain. So then you know, hey, it's time for this. I need to be asking. But then also we could say this. If the Lord was just going to do whatever He wants to do anyway, whenever He wants to do it, then why would He ever ask us to pray? You see, He's telling us in the last days there will be this time of the latter rain. And yes, I want to do this, but I still need my people to ask. I still need my people to pray. And so we are in a time where there are some things the Lord wants to do in the earth, but He's not going to be able to do it unless we ask. Here's a great example of this. When we read the story of Daniel in the book of Daniel, he's reading in the book of Jeremiah, the prophet, what God had said He would do. 70 years of captivity, and then you will go free. And Daniel's looking at this and he realizes, oh my goodness, we are at the end of this period of time of captivity. God said we go free. And yet he looks around and he says, I don't see it. So what did Daniel do? He set himself to fast and to pray. And he didn't just pray a little prayer. Oh Lord, Lord bless me. Bless the leaders. Bless the nation. He didn't just pray like that. He prayed day after day after day. This was an intensive form of prayer. This was not something that he did lightly or just in a very quick way. This was something that took some time and some effort. And Daniel devoted himself to do this. And when he did this, the time elapsed a little bit, but finally he has the angelic visitation. And what a significant angelic visitation it was. Because the angel that came to him from the presence of the Lord brought with him a message from God that actually unfolded the entire prophetic timeline from not only the time of Daniel, but all the way up to and including and even beyond our present day. Because he unfolds to him the whole plan of God for the nation of Israel and the time involved in all of this. But all of that came out of prayer. Daniel set himself to pray. Why? Because he saw in the Word what God wanted to do. So there are things that God has declared that he desires to do, but he still needs us to pray and to ask for them. Hallelujah. And I want you to understand this. If you will give yourself to the Lord in this area of prayer, your prayer life will be so rich and so wonderful that it will become one of the things that you just can't wait to get to do. You'll be so excited. I mean, honestly, I can tell you because when the Lord spoke that to my heart 40 years ago, I honestly thought the Lord had lost His mind. I really did. I said, God, are you crazy? You know me. I don't like to pray. I don't enjoy this. It's hard. And yet he said, you're gonna love doing this more than pretty much anything else you do in the last days when you get to this point. And I said, Lord, I really be honest with you, I don't believe it. But if you say so, okay, but I really don't believe it. That's what I said. But sure enough, here I am. And now I love to pray. I love to get with people and pray about things and let the Holy Spirit begin to move and his will be accomplished in prayer about things because it's powerful. And so there's some things I want to share with you along this line. The first thing is this, that we see that to be effective, we have to have sound minds. That means that our minds are under control. Our thought life isn't going out all over the place. In other words, when you read about the news, you're not fearful. You're not going, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? You're not worrying about situations. Worrying is not faith. It is the enemy of faith. And our prayers must be based and rooted in faith for them to work for us. So we can't be worrying about situations. We have to come with a sound mind, a controlled mind. Then the second thing is that we see here is he says self-restrained. I'm looking from the Amplified Bible, but self-restrained or self-controlled. And there's another issue here, and this is something else the Lord has been dealing with me about. And this is on the area of governing my flesh. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to talk about disciplining the flesh. Hallelujah. People get so excited about that. They want to run laps around the church. Yeah, I know. But I tell you what, in the last days, this is what God is requiring of us. See, this is why I didn't want to think about that question, what would I do if I knew he was returning today? Because I realized it meant I would have to reprioritize my entire life. And I'll be honest with you, I am still dealing with that question. I am still processing this. And I'm very uncomfortable with that, because I know what it means. I know the cost. I know something of the cost of what this means. But I see it more and more, and I'm glad for it. Because I realize something. The Lord will never ask something of us that makes us miserable and defeated and unhappy and grumpy every day because we're doing it. He's not going to do that. If his yoke is easy and his burden is light, and his ways are full of joy and peace. And so if he's asking something of us, then it means it's better for us than what we have right now. Amen. If he's saying crucify your flesh, it's because he's got something better for you. He has the things of the Spirit for you. Amen. And so I began to look at this and I realized that to be able to navigate and operate effectively in the end times, in these last days, requires of us a discipline in our mind and a discipline in our bodies. And I realize that for this kind of praying especially, that it requires certain self-control and discipline in our thought life. And then also a certain self-control and discipline in our natural life. Because think about this. When God calls us to pray about something, sometimes it's not at convenient times. You know, like the other night when we got here, I mean, we weren't thinking we're going to have a prayer meeting in Pastor Gary and Shelley's house. But that's what was needed. At that moment, we're tired. We just drove 7 or 8 hours to get here. You know, we're thinking, praise the Lord, we're going to just stay awake a little bit, talk to them, and go to bed and sleep. But you know what? We got to bed at 6 in the morning and slept for about 3 hours. But you know what? I woke up absolutely refreshed. I was like, praise the Lord. I feel like I slept all night long. Amen. I wore my shirt backwards on the way to the hospital to visit, but other than that, everything was okay. That was funny. I get to the hospital, and I'm thinking, I got my collar up on my shirt. I'm really styling. I look really good, you know. And then Cindy comes along. She says, do you know you've got the shirt on inside out? Your tag sticking out? Humility. God's teaching me humility. But then she almost did something. I won't tell on you. But anyway. but you know, we didn't know we were going to have a prayer meeting. But praise the Lord, we had a prayer meeting. And it was a good prayer meeting. Amen. And you know, this is the thing. When God calls you to a life of prayer, he's calling you to separate yourself from some things of this world. And some things are not necessarily wrong or evil in what they are. But if they take you away from God's purpose and what he wants you to do, then they become a snare to you. And I know that in my own life. I know what God's saying, that there's some things he's calling me away from to do, you know, and I'm saying, okay, Lord, my life is about doing your will. What do you want me to do? I had something happen to me the other day. You know, the Lord will test you on some things sometimes. Do you know that? Now, I'm not talking about tests and trials like from the devil. I don't mean that. But he'll just want to see, you know, are you really going to do what you said you would do or not? So we had an opportunity. There was something I was we'd been believing God for several years, actually, to be able to minister in a particular church. And you know, we don't push things like that. You know, we don't bug pastors and, you know, things. But we just believe they know the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will talk to them, and, you know, they can extend the opportunity to us and all of that. Well, we're waiting for the opportunity. So lo and behold, this pastor calls us up, says, hey, I hear you're in our area. Could you come over on Sunday? Well, there's only one small problem. I am fishing on Sunday. I'm on vacation. And I really, you know, it's a priority for me to go fishing, especially at this time of the year, because there's no other fishermen. I'm out there freezing and no one else wants to go. So I've got the whole thing to myself and I can fish. And I made it a goal this particular time. I am going to learn how to fly fish. And so I'm having a great time learning how to fly fish, you know. Finally, I'm catching more fish than I'm catching the bushes, you know. And I'm having a great time. And in the midst of this, this opportunity I've been believing God for just pops up. I wasn't going to go to church on Sunday. I'm on vacation. You know, now I'm not saying you do that every Sunday. So I'm not, please don't miss next Sunday, okay, and say, well, he said you can go on vacation. I don't mean that. But I'm on vacation this time. And we only have 4 days to do this in because that's when it's open. So one of those days was on Sunday. And this opportunity comes. And I'm thinking, Lord, I want to go fishing. But then I thought, I told you, I'll do whatever you want me to do. So, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I just felt in my heart, well, you've been asking me for years. You've been believing that this door will open up, and the door has opened up. And it's kind of like God's going, well, duh. So I said, all right, we'll do that. So I didn't go fishing at all on Sunday, but we had a glorious time. We had a wonderful time. We just shared a little bit in that church what's going on and, you know, got to talk with the people. And it was just a wonderful time. And it was so full of peace and joy. It was great. It was just the best thing we could have done. But I saw that and I realized God wanted to just check me out. Do you really mean what you're saying? You said, I'll do whatever you want. I want to do your will. Okay, here. And I'm thinking, Lord, why don't you have him ask me another time? You know, not now. But that wasn't the way God moved. And so God is looking for us to have discipline and self-control in our lives. And that's not a real popular subject. You know, you don't have a lot of people shouting and dancing over crucifying the flesh. But I tell you what, if we're going to live the way God wants us to live in these last days, we're going to have to live in that way, crucifying our flesh, consistently putting our flesh under. Now, let me go back to this and just look at this a little bit further here. Praise the Lord. I don't know. this is funny. So now I'm looking at the Amplified again. I don't want the Amplified. Back to New King James. There we go. And so in the New King James, it says, therefore, be serious and watchful. Now, I don't think that means we go around all the time, you know, I'm serious. I never smile. I don't think it means that. We should be the most joyful people in the world. Amen. But there is a seriousness. You can be joyfully serious. That's exactly how I am all the time. I'm joyfully serious. I can be right in the middle of the most serious situation, and I'm still cracking a joke. Amen. That's one of the reasons why I like your pastors, by the way. You know, Pastor Gary's laying on the floor, and here he is. You know, he looked like he's about to go to heaven, and he looks up at me, and he says, so how was your day today? I mean, I thought, that's great. But you could be joyfully serious. Amen. And God, I believe God wants us to be that way, because there are things that require seriousness, but in the midst of that, you can still be joyful. Amen. You can still laugh. You can still rejoice, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. And so God says, be serious. And I like this in the New King James. It says, and watchful. Watchful. My wife asks me sometimes, she says, why do you always check the news? How come she's asked me this the other day. She said, how come the Lord hasn't corrected you on that? And I said, well, first of all, you're not the Holy Ghost. But she was asking, I mean, it's an honest question, you know, how come he lets you watch the news and lets you do these things? And I said, well, if he tells me not to, I won't. But you know what? I just said this. I said, I like to know what's going on, because I need to know what I'm praying about. I need to know what I'm praying for. I read about something happening over here, and I'm like, Lord, take care of that. Lord, move in that situation. And I understand then some things that I need to be praying about. Hallelujah. So be watchful. In the Old Testament, they had people they called watchmen that they put on the walls. Now, here's something I want to encourage you in, is that you will take on this assignment of being a watchman on the wall, where, first of all, where this church is concerned and your pastors are concerned. And I know many of you, you're doing that. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that. But I want to, those of you that maybe you haven't really, I want to encourage you to do that. But secondly, here's what I want to really get to before I finish here for tonight. But there are four areas that I feel are extremely important that God is calling us into to be involved in prayer and especially intercession about. Four areas. And in each of these, we are, in a sense, giving birth to something. And in each of these areas, I'm going to give them to you. The first one is this, that we give birth in intercession to the lost coming to Christ. This is so important. There are people who will not come to Jesus any other way than unless somebody intercedes for them. And sometimes when you're allowing the Lord to move through you in prayer like this, you'll feel as though you yourself are lost. You'll feel as though you're the one who needs Jesus, because you're taking on the feeling of their infirmity and you're praying them into the kingdom of God. So this prayer will greatly impact the lost, but it will also do this in that it will realign nations to his will and his plan and his purpose. Hallelujah. We can literally affect entire nations through praying this way. And it's powerful. Then the second thing is this. Paul said in Galatians 4 and verse 19, he said, my little children, of whom I labor or travail in birth again, and he said, again, that Christ would be formed in you. So that tells us that the Apostle Paul labored in birth for them to be born again, but now he's laboring in birth again for them. What? That Christ would be formed in them. So the second thing that we're doing in this kind of praying is we're praying for Christ to be formed in Christians who are weak and struggling. And there are some Christians that will never step into the maturity and the fullness of what's available to them unless somebody prays them into it. They've got issues, they've got problems, they're struggling, and the answer for them is somebody needs to take on this kind of prayer for them, on their behalf, and pray them into that. Hallelujah. The third area that we give birth to in intercession, and this is so important, Brother Hagin talked to us about this often when we were there with him at Rhema. He said that many ministers will never take their place in the fullness of their office and calling unless people pray them into it. And in his own ministry, he said there were certain people that prayed him into the prophetic office that he stood in. He said, really, unless they had not done that, I wouldn't be able to stand in it like I have. So it is so important and so powerful that when we pray like this, we actually make a way for God to put people into these ministry offices, but not just in that office, but in the fullness of that office, with the fullness of the anointing, the fullness of the grace of God, the gifts of the Spirit operating through them. And we need that so much in this day and in this time. The fourth thing is this. When we pray in this manner, we are giving birth to this, that the gifts of the Spirit, and especially the miraculous, will be released in a much greater measure in our midst. Hallelujah. We all want to see more of the miraculous power of God. We all want to see more of the manifestations of the Holy Ghost in our midst. And I've noticed something in our own life and ministry, without really trying to do this, but because we've been, you know, endeavoring to obey God, to yield to Him more in this area of prayer, I believe it's directly connected to this. We've been seeing more of the miraculous power of God. We've had some amazing things. We had a month or two ago, we had one of our students in class one day. I was just sharing a simple testimony about how the Lord healed me several years ago of a problem. And all of a sudden, she said she was sitting there, and all of a sudden the anointing came on her, and she said, "What is this?" And she looked down, and she had an open vision, and she saw a pair of handcuffs on her wrists. And she's looking at this going, "What is this?" And about the time she's thinking that, the one on her right wrist just popped open. And then she saw the one on her left wrist, it popped open and they fell off. And she said, "Lord, what is this?" And the Lord said, "I have just healed you of this." And she had a hormone problem for many years that she was taking drugs and medication for, therapy for, that the doctor said, "We'll never be able to cure it. We'll just be able to help you a bit with this." And so she was taking all this medicine for that. And she said for years she had done that. And the Lord said, "That problem is no more. That problem is gone. You are now healed. You are now free." And she testified about this and said she hasn't had to take one bit of medication since then. She's totally free. No symptoms whatsoever. Hallelujah. Nobody prayed for her. I didn't even know she had a problem. God just reached down and touched her supernaturally. And I believe that we're coming, and we're there, but I mean, we're going to see more and more of these kinds of things happening. But there's a direct connection between our prayer life and the manifestation of the Spirit. If you don't believe that, look at the life of Jesus. How many of the miracle signs and wonders that he did are directly connected to his prayer life? It's amazing. And so there is a greater manifestation of the Spirit that is coming in our midst. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Sopra kataste. Father, we thank you with all of our hearts that for such a time as this, you have brought us into your kingdom, Lord. Oh, Father, thank you that we are here now, that you've chosen us, Lord. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are your children. We are to show forth your praises, Lord. Not just to praise and worship you, but to show the world around us how great and how wonderful you are. So, Father, we just simply bow before you right now. And in the name of Jesus, we say, have your way. Lord, do all that you want to do. Lord, use us. Father, we're willing, Lord. We don't know everything. We're certainly not perfect, Father. But Lord, we're willing. And so, Lord, use us. Help us, Lord. And use us and flow through us, Lord. And especially in this prayer of intercession, O Lord, that your plan and your purpose in the earth would be fulfilled. That what you want to do will be done. Father, let there come. Hallelujah. We know that it's coming. A greater manifestation, a greater operation of the gifts of the Spirit, a greater manifestation of the glory of God in our midst. Miracles and signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Not only in our services, but Father, everywhere we go. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for that, that even when we go about our daily activities, that you are going with us, and that, Lord, everywhere we go, miracles follow us. These signs follow those who believe you. So, Father, we're believers. We believe you, and we thank you for these signs following us. Lord, we pray that you would help each of us to go deeper in prayer. Hallelujah. Father, that your plan and purpose would be fulfilled. Oh, we give you praise and glory, Father. Lord, I know that right now there's so many things we could do, but we're really at the end of this time here tonight. But Father God, we just trust you that by your Spirit that you will put within each person a greater hunger, a greater desire to press in, Father, to know you, to have fellowship with you and see your face, Father God. Hallelujah. And we just thank you, Father God, for what you are doing in the earth and that we get to be a part of it. We give you glory and praise for this. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name, Amen, amen. Praise the Lord.
Bless God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Bless God. Of course, you know that was prophetically spoken also about the need for, when he said, I don't know. We know that that's the ministry of Levi and Melissa, but that is what he's talking about too. There's a parallel here that incorporates that because they represent this generation is what they're doing. And so when the Holy Spirit gave him that as kind of, because the Holy Spirit's got a sense of humor. You're going to think, well, God doesn't have a sense of humor. Where do you think yours came from? It came out of God. You know, the devil didn't invent laughing. That's all about God. And so that represents this generation that's going to take this forth. Most every great revival of historically past have been by the young people, generationally. They have some old-timers stuck in there, kind of hold them steady or give them some advice and help along, but they've not been the ones that were running with it on the cutting edge. And so the two things that Jeff said very strong and powerfully, who wants a sound mind? When you're messed up in the head or can't control your thoughts, what a terrible day it can be. And yet Timothy tells us, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, worry, but of power and love and sound mind. Sophronesmos, I believe that the word is. The word S-O, meaning saved. Either sozo or sotero, part of the word saved. Friend, if you study the mind, it's called phrenology, okay? It means saved mind. Sound mind means saved mind or healed thinking or healed thoughts. How many people struggle from past hurts and they need their thoughts healed? It's driving them nuts because there's been damage done to their lives and they can't let go of just looping it and repeating it and thinking about how they've been hurt, how they've been hurt, how they've been hurt. Well, that's not a sound mind if you're thinking about that. And that word, it says that God gave you that sound mind. He made it available because you're thinking, where am I supposed to get this sound mind? And the second thing is, how am I supposed to get self-control? Well, Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, all the way to the end. What's the last one? Self-control. Nobody can say they don't have self-control. All they can say, they won't use the self-control they've been given. So not only did were we told by the Holy Spirit, we need the sound mind and we need the self-control, and you go, where am I supposed to get that? And the Bible says it's being provided for you. It's like somebody asks you to do a job and you say, I can't, I need special tools. Oh, well, here's the special tools to go along with the job. Well, I guess I can do it now. God gave us sound mind and gave us self-control. It's not his fault if we don't use it. Nor can we claim that I just don't have any self-control. You'd have to call God a liar and the Bible a liar in order to say that, because the Word of God clearly says you do. And when you tap into it, guess how easy it gets when self-control. And that's why you said about, I don't want to control my flesh. God would like you to enjoy any lifestyle change that he redirects you to. He'd like you to enjoy that, not look at it like, oh no, I was having it good. Now I've got to go this other direction. What if he asks you to change your diet and you're going, but I like this stuff. And you have no idea what he's taking you to by the time you're done, the way you feel and what you're experiencing. You go, this is like way better. And he'll do it through your self-control, not out of control. He's not a God of disorder in any manner. He'll take you from grace to grace and glory to glory. He'll take you to the next level. And if he asks you to do that, it will be better. Hallelujah. Praise God. But when it parallels the I don't know in, that's prophetic. That is a prophetic word from the Lord. That's a prophecy about this generation. And how are they supposed to get there? Somebody births them in prayer. Who? They're just going to pop up one morning and say, I got an idea. Let's us pray. Most of this generation, that's probably not in their mind. What's on their mind is whatever's in front of them at the moment, probably. So how do we birth it? We become the next Daniel. We become the next one that says we see it. Well, what generation was going to be leaving and being freed and going back and rebuilding the temple and the city? The next generation was. And he birthed it into place. He spoke something. God said at the end of this time, it'll be done. And he saw it was the end of the time. But you needed to speak that out too. He spoke what was already spoken. That's called confession, saying the same thing as. And God is only asking us to say what he's already said. There won't be a generation lost. There will be the largest revival of all time. He spoke it, but he wants us to do the same thing and speak what he spoke. That's why when earlier, I don't know if I got on here or not, when he said, you've forgotten my ways, you have forgotten my tomorrows. You, technically, here's what it means. You have forgotten my promises, is what it means when he said my ways. Because some people go, oh, they must have been following God and they got into sin and fell off. No. He said, you've forgotten my tomorrows. You've forgotten my promises. And so you're not living and moving into them. But that's available. And God is taking us to the next best place. And tonight was a gift from God sent from all the way from Singapore via Pennsylvania and across up. And just to deliver that to us. And I guarantee you that if he's speaking it to us tonight, that the same message by the Holy Spirit is being spoken around the world, because some of the things that Jeff shared was some of the things that Ekim shared and some of the things I shared last week, and the Holy Spirit was repeating, and they had no idea what was preached in the last 2 weeks, but the Holy Spirit of God brought it around again and delivered it again. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. You're so good to us. And Jesus Christ, our Savior and hero, and Holy Spirit within us, the message tonight was especially satisfying, Lord, and strengthening. And our spirit beings have grown tonight. And we've been given something within our spirits that will stay and they'll be nurtured. A seed planted, a spiritual seed that's imperishable has been planted within us tonight by this very word. We are the generation that finishes and finishes well. We declare that before you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless God. Hallelujah. We're dismissed. Praise God.